Radio Africana,
your non-stop entertainment radio.
Well, always a delight to bring to your listening pleasure Africa Weekly live on this Dial Radio Africana, where it's happening. Africa Weekly is a journey through current affairs, entertainment, culture and tourism, and everyone's delight. Okay, I'm not going to generalize and say everyone enjoys sports. I've met humans who actually do not fancy sports, but if you want to stay healthy, you have to engage in one sport or the other. Sleeping and waking up, it's a sport. I just don't think they've named it yet. Or being alive, I think that's what it's called. I mean, Manuel Etim holding the fort for your super regular host, Chris Okudowa, who's behind the scenes today. So he'd be filling in some of the updates. There's a lot to share on today's broadcast. But for now, let's take this break. As I often say, get musically nourished this time. It's a composition by Jay Martins and Cabo Snoop. They call it Good Time.
Yeah! Jay Martins, Cabo Snoop. Yeah. Don't have fácil.
Come on.
Yeah. Hola.
You say that you want it. You say that you need it. You say that
Yeah, you love what I do when I do what I know how to do.
That's what we would be having on the show today. A good time. Welcome back. You're still listening to Africa Weekly on Radio Africana, broadcasting live from Manchester. Let's start off, as always, sharing some of the top current affairs stories as it affects the mama of all continents, Africa. The United Nations World Food Programme is halting operations in parts of Africa, and this includes Mauritania, Mali, the Central African Republic and part of where I'm from, Nigeria, and also Cameroon. The reason is due to severe funding cuts, primarily from the numero uno funding country, that's the United States, the aid reduction linked to President Trump. So it's a bit of a problem for them, and also certain parts of the African continent as stocks run low, hundreds of thousands of children. The consequence of this is that they will face malnutrition, but the World Food Programme have also warned that hunger may fuel instability and extremism in the region. But again, emergency prioritization efforts are currently on the way, which essence is to target the most vulnerable. We're talking about displaced people and young children. With only $494 million needed through 2025, the year we're in. But the funds nearly depleted as some level of humanitarian crisis potentially remains deeply precarious without new contributions. So they are not seeking, but just putting it out there that at the moment they are unable to carry on operations, particularly the western part of the African continent. And this suspension of food aid by the World Food Programme, it's one that just simply paints, how would I put it, paints a picture, a grim picture of West Africa's somewhat worsening humanitarian crisis. And this development, if not curbed, or if a solution isn't found for it, it threatens lives and also somehow just risk fueling insecurity, as hunger often drives recruitment into extremist group. If you're a hungry man, as we say, is an angry man, and that could lead to doing certain things that I have got no license to say on the radio. But the appeal now is for renewed international support before desperation turns into a disaster. So we're keeping our fingers crossed that there would be international support, just to see how well they can continue. But for the time being, the United Nations World Food Programme has been halted in certain parts of the continent. And this is in all that pleasant. Well, the United States, the current administration have always been in the news since inauguration. So every single opportunity we get to converse in Africa Weekly, I and Chris, we seem to have a story that has to do with the United States and their direct or indirect impact on the continent, Africa, that is. And this time, the U.S. administration is exploring sending third country nationals who are detained at the U.S.-Mexico border to African nations. South Sudan, I can't confirm on the show, they've already accepted 8 such deportees, mostly of other nationalities, while Nigeria, at the moment, are saying, no, just hold your horses. We've got to look inwards and be certain that we can actually accommodate this. Rwanda, by the way, are under diplomatic talks. Human rights groups and African leaders have come out to raise concerns about safety, legality, and ethics of transporting individuals who've got no ties to the receiving countries. And as expected, there will always be critics when certain diplomatic conversations arise, and they've attacked this move unfairly, turning African nations into dumping ground for migrants. The plan by the U.S. is also one which I could say raises some level of ethical and diplomatic questions. It places undue pressure, some would say, on already struggling African states, just telling them to absorb people with no cultural or national ties to them. It could be a bit exhausting and overwhelming. Also, the implications could strain U.S.-Africa relations and somewhat just set a dangerous precedent for global migration policy. So it's a very hot coal, or how do I put it, situation at the moment, because the U.S. want those African countries to say yes, but a chunk of them at the moment are saying, well, we're not in that position to accept this individuals you're willing to send to us. We'll keep you updated on that also in the days to come on the show. Well, this has to do with South Africa. The police minister, his name is Senzo Mchunu. He's currently facing sort of allegations of colluding with organized crime syndicates and obstructing investigation into politically motivated assassinations. This is very terrifying, because we're making reference to the police minister being involved in what is on paper a crime. The claims brought forward by a provincial police chief include receiving illicit payment to halt probes. The president has to react, because when the police minister is involved in such criminal venture, the president has to speak. And he's Ramaphosa, South African president, has described the allegations, because that's what they are at the moment, as a serious security concern, which I totally agree. Opposition parties, by the way, are demanding that the police minister, Senzo Mchunu, be suspended and parliamentary proceedings, as the ANC confronts persistent corruption accusations. And this allegations just represents more than, you know, a political scandal, particularly for the ANC, as they call them, and complicates matters for the South African president himself, Ramaphosa, who has pledged to reform the ANC and tackle deep-rooted corruption, which continues to undermine South Africa's democracy and rule of law. So this is sort of in a conundrum at the moment, seeing his police minister being accused of such horrifying, should I call them crimes, because that's what they are at the moment, just obstructing investigations into politically motivated assassinations. That's crazy. Well, we've got one more story on the current affairs segment to share. This one has to do with the visit of the Indian Prime Minister Modi to Namibia. The Indian Prime Minister has pledged to build partnerships rather than compete with African countries. The dialogue focused on cooperation in defense, digital finance, that's UPI, maritime security, energy, and critical minerals. The visit marks part of India's broader Africa outreach, which aims to strengthen strategic ties and economic collaboration across multiple sectors. So, in a nutshell, it's just the Indian Prime Minister, his visit to Namibia, just somewhat reflects a new chapter in India-Africa relations, just moving beyond aid. You know, not every time we're sending you money and sending you aid. This time, let's try and build mutual strategic partnerships by focusing on digital innovation and, as I mentioned, a bit of defense and critical minerals. And again, India themselves, they've positioned as a cooperative ally, not more like a competitor like China. It's an approach which could appeal to African nations who are at the moment seeking to diversify partnerships and harness their resources for local development rather than mere extraction. So they look like Indian are the new good boys. We're not talking the US, we're not talking Russia, not even making reference to China. But this time India also putting their foot down and saying, well, we can help make better the African continent. Let's see how far this bilateral meeting will be made manifest between Namibia and India. That's as much as we have today on the current affairs segment on Africa Weekly. We take a break now. What will return? It would be time to talk tourism and culture on Africa Weekly. But here's something from a Ghanaian artist who, if you haven't seen, I think you should go see her. She calls this Too Late Wendy Shay.
And you never thought that I would be okay. You lie to me. You make me want to freeze. Coming back on your knees, oh no. So you know go get again. Boy, you won't get again. Make you no disturb me, cause I know go demand you. Oh no. If you are my wine, it's one of my cuss, and I'm a trista. Sa. See me fresh up and rising. I dream no better thinking. When you see sexy body, see if you are my wine, it's one of my cuss, and I'm a trista. Sa. I say you don't go get again. Boy, you won't get again. Make you no disturb me, cause I don't go demand you. Oh no, it's too late, it's too late.
It's too late.
It's too late, but not too late for us to talk you through current affairs and, of course, a bit of tourism on Africa Weekly. Welcome back. Salutations to Wendy Shea. Oof, what an artist. I'm Emmanuel Atim, still holding the fort right here on Radio Africa, broadcasting live from Manchester. Let's get into the tourism and culture segment of the broadcast. It's a part of the show which allows us to just amplify the cultural workings of a chosen country and just plant into your heart for potential visitation. So if you're thinking of a place to holiday, yeah, make it this country we're about to profile now. And just a reminder again, Africa, 3,000 tribes thereabout, and quantum languages and dialects. It's a blessed continent. I'm happy to be one who's from there. Today we are in Cape Verde. That's where we've touched down, or Cabo Verde, the official pronunciation. It's a culturally rich island nation, just somewhere off the coast of West Africa, made up of 10 volcanic islands. It doesn't have tribes. You know, we often do tribes here on Africa Weekly in the traditional African sense, but we still have to talk about it. And the reason is due to its unique history. There were no indigenous people on the island just before the Portuguese came around way back in the 15th century. The population today is largely Creole, just mixed African and Portuguese ancestry. And cultural identity, which, by the way, is shaped more by island and linguistic distinctions than by tribes. But however, among the Creole communities, the most prominent cultural identity comes from the Santiago Island. It's the largest and most populated home to the capital, Praia. The people of Santiago, often seen as the cultural backbone of the country. So we will be dwelling there. Just to let you know, in terms of ethnicity, mixed Afro-Portuguese heritage, the Creole, deeply influenced by both West African roots and Portuguese colonization. In terms of the food in Cape Verde, you know how much I enjoy talking about food. Cachupa is the national dish, a slow-cooked stew of corn, beans, sweet potato, cassava, fish or meat. They also do have what they call the pastel com diablo dentro. It's fried pastries filled with spicy tuna. It sounds tasty. And a traditional sugarcane rum, particularly famous from Santiago and Santo Antão, it's called the grogue. So they also have a food called that. And from Cape Verde, an island nation, is expected seafood is essential. We're talking tuna, lobster, octopus, and staples. If you're allergic to any of this, yeah, and you could just cite them, but don't feast on it. In terms of the women from Cape Verde, if you're a football fan, during the last Africa Cup of Nations held in Cote d'Ivoire, the Cape Verdean ladies who were at the stands were one of the reasons why that tournament was amplified on social media. They're well known for their beauty, confidence, and strong family roles. They often have light to dark brown skin, curvy or wavy hair, mixed Afro-Portuguese features. The women play a central role in preserving family music and culinary traditions. The fashion tends to mix African prints with Western lifestyles, so they could tie Irambuba and still have some hot outfit. But in terms of the religion, predominantly Roman Catholic, about 80% of them. Protestant denominations and Adventist churches are also growing out there in Cape Verde. Traditional African beliefs are less prominent, but spirituality and syncretism exist. Just a combination of all the belief system. That's what it means in one word, especially in music and the healing process. And speaking of music, Cape Verde has a world-renowned music scene, especially rooted in the Santiago Island. Funana originated in Santiago. It's upbeat, accordion-driven, once banned, but it still exists. The Batuque It's the oldest Cape Verdean genre with strong African rhythms, traditionally performed by women in call and response fashion. They also do have this genre called Mona. It's the most internationally known genre made famous by Cesare Evora, popular though in South Enchente, but it's respected nationwide. Other genres, they have Koledira, Tabanka, which is often performed during ceremonies in Cape Verde, and Kizomba. This is one influenced by Angola. So it's important to mention that. That's why they do have that, what do I call it, a rivalry in terms of in football in terms. Language now, Criollo, it's the most spoken language. It varies though, slightly by island. Santiago's dialect is called Badio Criollo. But we do know, just for, as I love to say, the records, that Portuguese is the official language which is used in school and government. But Criollo is rich in idioms, humor, and everyone there pretty much speak that language. They are proud people in terms of their identity. That's the Criollo identity. They're very expressive. They do have a strong sense of community and island identity. Very artistic also, I have to mention, especially in music, dance, and poetry. A blend African energy with Lusfone elegance. So that's where we are advertising FOC free of charge in Radio Africana's Africa Weekly, that if you are looking for a travel destination this weekend, Emmanuel and Chris, we are saying let that destination be no other place than Cape Verde. It's a beautiful island nation just at the western part, just off the west coast of the African continent. We pause for a bit, this time away from our tourism and culture segment. We've got something lined in from Paul Simon and Lady Smith Black Mamba. So when we return, it would be time for us on Africa Weekly, Emmanuel and Chris, to talk entertainment on the show.
3 TV, changing the channel.
She's a rich girl, she don't try to hide it, got diamonds on her soul. He's a poor boy, empty as a pocket, he's empty as a pocket with nothing to lose. Sing ta-na-na, ta-na-na, she got diamonds on the soles of her shoes. Ta-na-na, ta-na-na, she got diamonds on the soles of her shoes. 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 People say she's crazy, she got diamonds on the soles of her shoes, yeah. Well, that's what Wendy Lucy's walking through. Diamonds on the soles of your shoes. She was physically forgotten, but then she slipped into my pocket with my car keys. She said, you've taken me for granted because I please you. Where needs diamond? I could say, ooh. Yeah, everybody, yeah, I know what I'm talking about. Everybody knows what I'm talking about, yeah. Talking about diamonds on the soles of the shoes. She makes the sign of a teaspoon, he makes the sign of a wave. The poor boy changes clothes and puts on aftershave, yeah, to compensate for his ordinary shoes. Ah, to compensate for his ordinary shoes. But she said, take me dancing, but they ended up by sleeping in a doorway by the bodegas and the lights on Upper Broadway, wearing diamonds on the soles of their shoes. I could say, ooh, and everybody here would know what I was talking about. I mean, everybody here knows just what I'm talking about. Talking about diamonds on the soles of your shoes. Diamond.
Just how expensive or classy. Not sure which term to use to describe the character in the song composed by Paul Simon, Diamonds on the Soles of Her Shoes. The artist just behind the voice there, Ladysmith Black Mambazo, classic group of your own. But what a tune that was. That came from his seventh studio album, Graceland, way back in 1986. This is 2025, and it feels like it was just recently released. Every tune there just hits a chord. Or a string hits in a chord. Well, welcome back. You're still listening to Africa Weekly on Radio Africana, the UK number one Afro station, broadcasting live from Manchester. It's the radio station everyone agrees with, no doubt. If you listen to the composition and you know, yeah, you've got to agree with the radio station. Every tune played here, every conversation shared on Africa Weekly and the other broadcast on Radio Africana is a classic, and every sneeze is accepted. All right, let's start off in terms of entertainment. This time is huge. I saw this report and I said I've got to, you know, add it to the presentation. It has to do with Theresa Imegwara. She's a Nigerian makeup artist. Those who know her would refer to her as Tess Glam. She is preparing to embark on a makeup journey to break the Guinness World Record for the longest continuous makeup application by an individual. So Theresa Imegwara sat in a corner. She's an expert with makeup, saying, I want to set the record. I want to do this. I want to have the record for the longest continuous makeup application by an individual. And she said she was going to do it. The attempt is tagged Glam 4144. And it's officially been approved by Guinness World Records. And this is scheduled to commence next month, August, to be exact, the 14th of August 2025. She's targeting an exhausting 144 hours. This is approximately 6 days of non-stop, you could call it artistry, but it also feels like torture because you're just there making up, making people up. You know, you can make anything up, just keep making something up. The current record, though, belongs to an African. It also was one of the interests for me on the story. The longest marathon applying makeup held by Ghana's Akoswa Mante Rosalyn. She achieved this feat last year. Nigeria and Ghana, the competition has gone to make up now, because this time Theresa Imegwara is saying, okay, Akoswa Mante Rosalyn, you've held this record for 1 year, it's time for me to take it. By the way, Rosalyn's record still stands, because it's not been broken yet, 25 minutes 33 seconds, 103 hours 25 minutes 33 seconds, achieved on the 3rd of April 2024. That's the goal that Theresa Imegwara, the Nigerian makeup artist, is trying to break. Let's see how far she will go with this. Wish her all the makeup best, as we say. Well, something going down in South Africa. It's a TV series which will be premiered, premiering later this month. Just trying to get the exact date, the 30th or the 31st. Yeah, it would be premiering later this month. It's called Macked. It's a six-part African original series. It's an emotional drama which follows Bablawa, a security guard turned reluctant heist, accomplice fighting to save her critically ill daughter. They do have some A-list artists, actors, as the case is. Leratum Vele, say, Ama Kamata also there. And it's one, I think, you know, when it's, you know, officially out to you, you could just find time to support not just Nollywood. I'm not sure what they call it in South Africa. It's not certainly Safawood, but they do have a beautiful, beautiful production. Every single footage they put out there, and this one is led by acclaimed director Akio Motosho, a Nigerian though, but he's pro-South African, and also Masepo Maya. This, according to certain reviews, could set a new benchmark for African streaming drama at some of the reviews I saw, and I just thought it was essential to put this out there. And what more can be said? Well, speaking of setting the benchmark, weeks back it was Davido who released his a studio album titled Five. Today it's Afrofusion icon Burnaboy who's making official the release of his eighth studio album, which he calls No Sign of Weakness, an album currently blends Afrobeat with rock and country, features fine collaborations the likes of Mick Jagger's there, there's Travis Court and Shabuzi. Also, the album, somehow Burna left me out of, I don't know, man, what did I do to him? Well, the album also celebrates his landmark achievement of selling out Paris Stade de France, and continues his global dominance with chart-topping singers like Empty Chairs. So I just think it's perfect for us to wrap up the entertainment segment at Africa Weekly. No means in words, Burna's success underscores how Afrobeat acts are evolving into what you pretty much term hybrid content creators and cultural diplomats. This is Empty Chairs by Burnaboy off his latest album, No Sign of Weakness. When we return from the break, it would be an opportunity for us to delve into the final part of the show, sport.
Just sitting on the throne, but to me it's just an empty chair. And that's my eyes see clear. Last time I checked, there was nobody there. Took my place without fear. Seems unfair, but this is warfare. Troops on the loose, no civilian here. Got my circle, don't need no square. Because I did for the long ride, I get to push all my feelings, go inside. I be real general, so I can cry. I just say that it's alright, and I know why. Don't reveal my plans, so they don't get no warning in advance. Take them by surprise, it's important. If you want your enemy's fate to be in your hands, you might think that you're sitting on a gold mine, but it will soon be revealed. All is not what it seems. Last time I checked, you were living in a dream. Woke you up, showed you what a good friend I've been. What a friend for, if not for inconvenience. Not always there, I pull up when I'm needed. The seeds where you sow, you could reap them. Was in the courtroom, it was me the judge and the jury and some empty chairs. And Uncle T was there, looking at the judge with an empty stare. Prosecution don't care, tryna make a judge give me 70 years. And God show me myself in the heavenly mirror. Never lie, got my eyes see there. If you're poor, you be victim of profiling. If you no be politician and you manage get rich, then go turn you to victim of society. My enemies are no longer on the streets or the roads. Now they're on the internet or the blogs. And in my sold out shows, looking for empty chairs. Free up and break these chairs. Give up just cause we fail.
Burna Boy. That's a beautiful composition, I've got to say. And every single word there meant something to him, Burna. He sounded very personal. Not sure what the message is, or to whom. I do know what the message is about. Just saying, be cautious, don't be too comfortable in your zone. And as we say in Lagos, I believe say you don't land. But we're back for the final stretch in Africa Weekly today. It's an opportunity for us to talk sport. Emmanuel Atem and Chris Okunua, who's just filing in all of these conversation I'm sharing. And today he's got a sore throat, so he cannot speak. Quite a lot to share in sports. I've got less than a quarter of an hour to do this. We will start off first with the biggest tournament ongoing at the moment. It's called the FIFA Club World Cup, taking place in the United States of America. And, well, we did have African teams playing. Unfortunately, all four were knocked out the group stages. But they gave a fair shout and should. The growth of football on the African continent. Mamelodi Sundowns, we had Casablanca, Esperance Tive did as best as they could. But the final of the tournament will take place on Sunday at the MetLife Stadium somewhere in New Jersey. It will feature a clash between two European powerhouses, as they call them, Chelsea and Paris Saint-Germain. Well, broadcasting from the UK, so a bit of sentiment for Chelsea, but my money would be on PSG though, and they're a side who were very commanding in their display in the semi-final. Completely masticated, demolished, whatever term you want to use to describe that performance over Real Madrid, where they had the chance to showcase their dominance. It was an impressive attacking display. It could have been 20-0. I thought they just took the foot off the pedal a bit and said, oh, this is Madrid. It's not Manchester United. Look at me, just trolling my own team. Anyways, Chelsea themselves did well securing this spot in the final. They had that very on paper-like difficult fixture. Yes, it was supposed to be really hard for them against Fluminense. But Raul Pedro said, nah, I'm here now, Chelsea fans. I'll make things easy for you. And his brace was enough, and Chelsea made it through to the final. So we do have two European teams competing at the FIFA Club World Cup 2025 for Chelsea Football Club. They are just trying to find an opportunity to get their second FIFA Club World title if they achieve it, and they'll be hoping to rely on some solid defensive structure and midfield control. For PSG themselves, they are seeking their first title. It would be an opportunity for them to just completely capitalize on their attacking depth. They do have quality players and high pressing game, but it's a final, so it's very difficult to make predictions and say who would win the final of the FIFA Club World Cup, because both teams have shown so far resilience, quality throughout the entire tournament, and if you're a neutral, it would be an exciting encounter to just sit and watch Chelsea taking PSG. And in Nigeria, I'm certain there would be spread across viewing centres that would show the final, which I think the timing would be about 8 p.m. West African time. Yeah, so across the continent, Chelsea is well supported. A few fans adore Paris Saint-Germain. A reminder, they've had African players do great for them. Nigerian, of course, still one of the more fancy players. In JJ Austin Okocha. So, and at the moment, they have a player who could, at the end of the year, be voted as Africa's best, Achraf Hakimi, the Moroccan international. And it would be an exciting final. But my smart money, if I was a betting man, who says I'm not? But if I was, I would put my smart cash on PSG to win. I just think they are in such a form that you cannot question and you can't play against. You can't coach against a side like PSG at the moment, so it would be quite hectic for Chelsea to tactically navigate their way beyond Le Paris Saint. But you never know, it's a final. Jose Mourinho, former Chelsea manager, once said, and I would always make reference to that quote, that in finals there are no favourites, so Chelsea could still win. But if I was to advise you, just go PSG. I think they'd be European and world champions. For Chelsea, though, it's an opportunity to reaffirm their status among Europe's elites, while PSG aims to solidify their recent resurgence under manager Luis Enrique. Well, outside of the FIFA Club World Cup, a tournament held in Sweden on the African continent is the Africa Women's Cup of Nations. The group stage of the tournament is still ongoing and so far has delivered some level of excitement. As exemplary, the Super Falcons of Nigeria, the most successful team in the competition, they've won the tournament 9 times officially. They are on Mission X to win the 10th title. They are, as I speak, the second, the only team to have officially secured their place in the quarterfinals. So we celebrate them, we say congratulations. But a consequence of being top and advancing is that they could be paired against Morocco, the host nation, or one of the pre-tournament favourites, Zambia. There's also the little tale of Senegal. If Senegal miraculously get a result past the opposition, Morocco, which I doubt, I think Morocco would defeat them, and Zambia, of course, would run ragged in their own fixture. Whatever the case is, it would be a hectic quarterfinal fixture, or difficult, if that's the right term to use, for Nigeria. The knockout stage will commence on the 17th of this month, featuring the top two teams from each group and the two best third-place teams. So far, there have been 31 goals scored in the matches played. A reminder also that aside from winning this competition, it also serves as a qualifier for the 2027 FIFA Women's World Cup. So it would be a cracking contest once the group stage is done and we have teams playing in the quarterfinals. So be it Morocco, be it Zambia, if you ask me who I think would be an easier fry, I'd be hoping the Moroccans finish second in that group so they play Nigeria. I think Zambia would be really hard for the Falcons to play in the quarterfinal stage. They've got arguably the best player on the African continent now, Babre Banda, and they're doing so well at the tournament. I just don't want Nigeria to pair up against Zambia at the moment. No, wait until the final. At least they will be guaranteed of a medal. Whatever comes though, there's a reason why they've won 9 titles, the Super Falcons, and those titles came not by being afraid of oppositions, just to put it that way. So we wish them all the best. Likewise, the other teams who are vying to be champions of the 2025 Women's Africa Cup of Nations going down in Morocco. Let's share a bit of transfer news on the broadcast as we gradually winding down. You'll talk transfer lately since his exploit with Napoli. He's always been a major part of the conversation. Whenever it's transfer time, the name is Victor Osimhen. As he stands, the Nigerian looks to have agreed to join, or should I say stay put, at Turkish club Galatasaray on a permanent deal. Estimation about €55 million. That's a player who joined Napoli during COVID 2020. He became one of the top players. He was exceptional that season, where he helped Napoli secure their title, the very first time they would do so since God knows how long. I know, actually 33 years. That's a long time. But I'm not sure how I feel about Osimhen deciding to stay back in Galatasaray. But they love him there, which is essential for a player to thrive. You need beyond how much you earn. You need the not just the support of the fans, but the entire city adoring you. It's incredible. Just walk through Manchester, and if they love you, fine. He's doing that in Turkey, and he's quite a big deal, Victor Osimhen. Again, whatever makes Victor happy makes me happy. I just want him to continue to thrive. A true gem, to say the least. Other transfer news, the producer just identified, I've got less than 5 minutes before we call it. Is it an afternoon? Yes, it is. It could be night, wherever you're listening from. This gentleman, the Ghanaian winger Antoine Semenyo, he's agreed to a new contract with Bournemouth, which extends until 2030. He's 25, scored 13 goals. He was instrumental to Bournemouth securing a 9th place finish last season. He's also a 22-year-old Burkina Faso defender. His name is Nasser Jiga. He signed a 1-year loan from Wolves to Rangers in the Scottish Premiership. Wish him all the best there. A Nigerian called Bright Osai Samuel has signed a 3-year contract with Birmingham City. It's official. It happened some days back. He's 27, very versatile defender, and he will add not just depth but also experience to the Birmingham squad. Mohamed Kudus, this is at the moment the biggest story coming through in the African continent. He signed with Tottenham, £55 million. Kwaba Kudus, it's a 6-year contract. He's left from West Ham United. And when I saw this, I was like, oh, really? That's quite the rivalry. It's the first direct transfer between West Ham and Tottenham in 14 years. Mohamed Kudus, congratulations, brother. That's a lot of money you're making. Noni Madueke, he's got Nigerian blood also. Set to move from Chelsea to Arsenal for approximately £52 million. I'll be surprised if I step out of the studio if that deal hasn't been confirmed yet. Simon Adingra, he's Ivorian. He's decided to join Premier League side Sunderland from Brighton. Very surprising though, but hey, still fair. £21 million deal, completed his medical, so he's safe and healthy to play. Also would add a bit of firepower to the squad. He was exceptional with them. Also did great for Cote d'Ivoire in Cote d'Ivoire when they beat Nigeria in the final of the Nations Cup 2 years back. Just two more, and that's it. Michael Olunga, the Kenyan, is close to joining Wydad Casablanca on a free transfer. He's decided to leave Al-Duhail, where he scored 17 goals in 25 matches. He would be quality with Wydad. And Samuel Chukwueze, the Nigerian, has hinted at staying at AC Milan despite Fulham and Villarreal's interest. He just wants to continue to play in the Italian Serie A and help them. And what can I say but wish him all the best. So, well, that's the size of the broadcast this fine Saturday, Africa Weekly on Radio Africana. On behalf of Chris Kudawai, and of course, salutations to Jareth, the producer who had to just make his identity known by sneezing. No worries, all good. I'm Emmanuel Atim saying have a fantastic week ahead. Maybe filled with only positive vibes. Cheers.
Trying to get paid, take money, cash checks. You see the set, that's Lash, that's Dex. Young C, Young Shorty, Milcavelli. White bricks, True Religion, on the telly, it's me. Wiz got the house full of freaks. That's why I haven't been around for a week. I'm getting pounds in my sleep. I'm at the top of the mountain, it's peak. Bring it back before the villain. I had a life, real talk, True Religion. It's in the blood, in the jeans, in the stitching. Walked in, no weapon, made a killing. Tongue kissing, pretty women. New iPhone, cause I'm done with all the bitching. Tryna be in my position. Keep my shades on, cause they're tryna see the vision.
Tell me, bad man, see, I need your love. See, I need your love. Me need you close to me. Me tell her, say, me, oh, stay on the road. Bad energy, stay far away. Make you stay far away. Just give me love for the night. Give me love for the night. Girl, waste no time.
Breakfast in bed on a plane. I could never complain. I was walking with the limp, had the cane. Dex said greatness and nothing was the same. Now we're set for life. I saw the turn up button and I pressed it twice. You heard I'm in the club, then my best advice is put your shoes on and come and get your wife. Cause we've been having sex just for exercise. Every night men are doing sexercise. She look into my eyes, now she's mesmerized.
She tell me, bad man, see I need your love. See, I need your love. Me need you close to me. Me tell her, say me, oh, stay on the road. Bad energy, stay far away. Make you stay far away. Just give me love for the night. Give me love for the night. Girl, waste no time.
Hey, they better get used to the flex. African man, you see the jewels on my neck. Black James Bond, that's the new silhouette. You see me in the street and I was moving correct. Been running around trying to do the home run. Left that girl, she was no fun. I tie one, smoke one. Big Chief Skeppy and I answer to no one. Counting my blessings, I'm feeling special. Bird's eye view, SK level. Give them the shaku when I dance with the devil. Young fella Kuti, the return of the rebel. I told her I need some space. Real busybody, never stay in one place. And she knows I got more tricks under my sleeve. That's why she never wants me to leave.
She tell me, bad man, see I need your love. See I need your love. Me need you close to me. Me tell her, say me, oh, stay on the road. Bad energy, stay far away. Make you stay far away. Just give me love for the night. Give me love for the night. Girl, waste no time.
stay tuned to the biggest Afrobeat station, Radio Africana.
It's Kelpie Vibes.
Modede wa palolo, I like it, them they fear me now. Oro gidi life I go by, look at me, I'm the captain now. Right from Jade Mungo, no, no, no. It's a real thing, no be fictional. I go blow my trumpet, no, 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 no. If you like, take it personal. Hey, yeah, yeah. Once I go mokere, but then they copy my way. Once I go mokere, but then they follow my way. Once I go mokere, but then they copy my way. Once I go mokere, but then they follow my way. No competition, I'm a big league, no miss motivation. Champion flex, no relegation. Steady on top, no intermission. Intermission, oh, oh.
It's my lifestyle, I know the show. See my blessing, I overload. Everything I get now by the grace of God. IG not their whole life, them fake living for the online. Empty barret, them too loud, big for nothing, Toyota. Container don't land you. New Bugatti for my compound, yeah, yeah. 5G for my router. I do what I do for my own drive, yeah, yeah. Container don't land you. New Ferrari for my compound, yeah, yeah. Party in my router. I do what I do in my own time, yeah, yeah. Once I came okay, but then they copy my way. Once I came okay, but then they follow my way.
My favorite, I would like.